Blog Talk Radio.
Midweek pick-me-up show, and I've invited my friend, Reverend Michael Ahern, to come and share his story with you today. I met Reverend Michael about 16 years ago when I started my wedding business in Orange County, and I was calling all around to all the other non-denominational ministers in the area to introduce myself and ask them if they would refer brides to me if they were already booked. Because I realized early on that all of us could only do one wedding at 5 o'clock on Saturday. Because I would no more get one wedding booked at 5 o'clock on Saturday, and then I'd have the whole rest of the week available, but the next bride that called wanted Saturday at 5 o'clock. So I called all the ministers, and I said, if you are booked, if you please refer the bride to me, and if I book her, I'll pay you a referral fee. Well, at first, I think Reverend Michael was kind of thought I was crazy, thinking, who is this woman who's invading my territory? But he soon learned that I was not a threat to his business with all of the local hotels and the five-star wedding venues in Orange County, because in those days, God was a man, and the minister represented God. And the majority of the weddings in the traditional wedding venues were traditional weddings where the minister was a man, and mostly even today still is. And I'm a woman. I learned the MASH mind consciousness thinks of God as a man. You know, if we get that concept in our mind, a picture of an old man, you know, with a long white beard that's sitting on a throne up there running everything. And then people believe we do represent God, but actually we represent the state of California. So God is spirit manifesting as male and female, and we represent the state of California. And long ago, I told Reverend Michael that if I was a casting director for a movie and I needed an actor to play the part of a minister, that I would book Reverend Michael, because he just looks exactly what you would expect a minister in a movie to look like. Well, I'll tell you this. If George Clooney was a minister, that's how Reverend Michael looks. And I must say, he has aged quite gracefully. Well, last week, both of us had a beach wedding at one of the Laguna Beach's most gorgeous beaches, which is, by the way, big enough for all of us to be there and not be in each other's way. However, there are about 30 steps. I didn't count them, but to get down to the beach, and of course you have to walk back up. Going down is always easy, but coming back up is a workout. So Reverend Michael and I were going back up the stairs, and he was ahead of me. And I sat down for a moment and took a brief rest, and he looked back at me and he said, do you need any help? He's 12 years younger than I am. And I said, oh, no, you go on ahead. I'll make it. But he did wait for me. And then he told me that for several months he was not able to go up and down the steps at all. And then he told me his story. and I want him to tell you his story. So I'm going to bring Reverend Michael on now. Hello, Reverend Michael. Hello,
do you
Reverend
have me?
Michael?
Do you hear me?
Hello, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, welcome.
Good morning, young lady. How are you?
Good morning.
Oh, by the way, everybody, you should know it was Marcianne's birthday last week.
No, next week.
Oh, next week.
Next
all right,
week.
I'm off
yeah.
a week.
Don't
yeah, I'm
tell
an old man.
Old.
Come on.
Yeah, I have my whole family coming out to California. I hope this awful weather is over by then. So you're sitting there at your desk looking out at the ocean?
I'm sitting here looking. Well, actually, I'm looking at your picture up on your site. I don't want the sound to go, so I've got the sound and whatever turned off. But, yes, I'm looking at the ocean and you.
Oh, thank you. Well, we're going to have an unusual day here today in California. We don't have this very often. It's going to be in the 90s today, even at the beach. And do you have the wind over there as well?
Yeah, but not as much as yesterday. Yesterday the wind was, it didn't help because it was so hot. It actually hit 97 here at the beach, and for people listening that are not used to living at the beach, we're not used to that type of weather. 65, 70 is warm for us at the beach, actually.
Right, and last year we had a day like that. And I had a wedding that day. I don't know if you did, but when I saw that was coming, I called my bride and I said, you know what, she had like about 90 people coming, and we were going to do it at North Main, and she had older people. And I told her, I said, we better rent the gazebo and, you know, let your older folks stay up on the cliff and just watch from up on top. Oh, no, she said, everybody will be fine. And they came all dressed up, Michael. I mean, you know, we mostly get more, if you do a beach wedding, it's a little more informal, right? And these people
right.
came all dressed up, so like in these beautiful dresses that I know weren't cotton. And long story short, three ambulances, paramedics, stretchers taking these older people, you know, up from the beach. They just passed out. So I
well,
never
let me add to that. At the north end of Heisler Park on the beach, for everybody not knowing, there's a ramp that goes down to the beach. Same type of day Marcianne was talking about. The 11 o'clock Sunday morning wedding, people started arriving at 10. They're waiting, and they're in the sun waiting. The bride, who is staying at a hotel three blocks away, was 45 minutes late to her own wedding. So
yeah.
finally when she got there, she forgot her marriage license. They forgot their Unity Sand table and whole setup. But we did the wedding, and all of a sudden I see a guy run from the groom's side over to the bride's side. A pregnant lady had fainted face
mm-hmm.
first, pregnant, in the sand. And we got her up, and as the bride and groom exited, a man about 40 years old in real good health, he went down face first, and
mm-hmm.
down the ramp had to come the ambulance and everything else, because the bride was 45 minutes late to her own wedding. Excuse me, have somebody zip your dress up and get down here. End of story. End of story. It's crazy. You got to think of your guests,
I tell my
folks.
Staff, you know, we wait for the bride. The bride will never wait for us, but I don't know about you. I have in my contract, if it goes over a certain length of time, then we all start to add on and charge more.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've had brides that are so late, I almost had to leave and not do the wedding because I already
because
had another
one. Because you had
one
another one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, let's get to our story, my dear.
I know. We can tell stories about weddings the rest of the hour. So let's, I want to hear, I want my listening audience to hear your story because I believe your story is a great big wake-up call for all of us.
All right, folks, bear with me. Marcianne said a couple months I've had pain in my hip. Not true. A year ago, January, and I live downtown Laguna Beach, a year ago, 15 months ago, I walked a block, and oh, my right hip just started screaming at me. It was like inside there was red raw meat with an ice pick in it. Oh, my God, what's wrong? You know, and so I sat down. The pain started to subside. Well, every single day for 15 months, I'm going from a year ago January until April 8th this month, I could walk a block and a half. The pain would set in. It would go away when I sat down. So like anybody else, I screwed up something. It'll go away. Well, no, it never did. And I finally went to my primary doctor, and he immediately sent me to a hip surgeon who did four x-rays, both knees, both hips, and said, well, you know, you never have to worry about knee or hip replacements, and you have really no arthritis to worry about. And scheduled me for another appointment, went back in. He gave me a cortisone shot in my hip, which I didn't need. There was nothing wrong with my hip. But, okay, chemicals going in. It might work. He's guessing. Well, it didn't work.
So, in other words, so he took the x-ray. It didn't show anything, and he gave you a cortisone shot anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, they figure, well, you know, it helps some people. Let's experiment. And I'll come back to who's at fault at this. But he sent me to a pain management doctor who also sent me to a second hip surgeon and to a spine surgeon. And they both said epidural, which is a shot in your spine. So the pain management guy did an epidural. Still didn't help. Wound up giving me a second one. That didn't do it. So here you're shoving needles in where all your nerves are coming down your spine, and you're throwing chemicals in there, and it didn't work. So I'll try and make this as quick as I can.
No, that's okay.
I may be
we
out of order here,
this.
But I went on to then being referred to a neurosurgeon, which is another spine surgeon. And went through all of his tests, and he basically looked at me and said, Michael, you don't fit in any of my criteria, and he sent me to a neurologist who studies all the nerves in your body. And there were multiple visits to these guys, not just one. And the neurologist had me come back and did a one-hour nerve testing on my legs, and you know, subsequently, you've got this on this, this disc, this on that disc, which I've known since I was 12 years old, and there's no reason for surgery. Didn't have anything to do with my hip. So let me sort of list them. Primary doctor, two hip surgeons, a spine surgeon, a neurosurgeon, a neurologist. I lost my pain management guy due to insurance and was sent to a new one who could do absolutely nothing for me, and I probably missed a doctor here or there, but the end of the story is come January, or I'm sorry, beginning of March this year, so now I'm in my 14th month of pain. I'm walking, and this is what I call, folks, divine intervention, if you believe in it or not. It's happened to me three times. This is once. I'm walking across the street. I can see my bank out my window, and I'm walking back, and by that time I'm limping. I can't help it. I can't camouflage it. And just a friend of mine who doesn't take my insurance is a doctor downtown here in Laguna, a family doctor. And he said, Michael, what's wrong? Why are you limping? So I told him. I said, I can go a block. It flares up in me, and the only time it goes away is if I sit down. And that's the whole key to what my story.
Right there.
Goes away when I sit down. He said, no stethoscope, no tests, no nothing. We're on a sidewalk. He says, oh, you got iliofemoral artery obstruction. You're, from your heart, you have an arterial. Main artery goes down, let's say, to your belly button, splits in two. One goes to the right leg, one to the left. They're called femoral arteries going down to your femur, to your hip, et cetera. And so, what? And I said, I can't remember all this. He said, well, the key is, he says, I've had one patient in my whole career who had this last year, and every time he'd sit down, it would go away. I kept telling my spine surgeons and stuff. I says, if it were my spine, my hip would still hurt when I sit down because I got the same pressure on my spine. They didn't catch this. Nobody caught that it goes away when you sit down except for my friend Dr. Bill Anderson, who in Laguna owns the Sleepy Hollow Medical Clinic on Ocean Avenue, family doctor. And so he knows a little bit about everything. He's not in his little box of where he was trained and, you know, spine only, neck only, hip only, whatever. And so I had him write this down on the back of my business card on the hood of a car. I go back into my apartment. I look it up. One of the main keys here in the description of what he gave me is debilitating, excruciating hip pain when walking a block or so that dissipates, meaning goes away when he sits down. That was the key. That was the key. I got a hold of my primary doctor. He got a hold of a vascular surgeon I had used years ago, who I love. And bang, they send me in for an ultrasound, and I get an ultrasound of my lower half of the body. The end result is, Michael, you aren't getting any blood to the bottom half of your body. So then they send me for, and this is the last test, a CTA scan, not CAT scan, CTA, 3D x-ray of the abdominal area, and the artery going from, my belly button to my right leg is 90% clogged. So immediately I got two choices. If angioplasty, which is a cleaning out of the artery, and a stent, the metal screen they put in there to hold everything against the wall. If so-and-so doctor can't do that, he says, then I'll be cutting you open and cleaning it out. So I went to the guy for the angioplasty stent. He said, yes, I can do that. And within a week, bang, I'm in the hospital, an hour and a half operation, lay down on your back, for 6 hours, you know, trying to let the holes in the artery and down by your groin where they go in to come up, you know, for them to coagulate, heal, et cetera. Then I was able to get up and go home. And guess what, everybody? Pain-free. This divine intervention, no tests, no nothing. This doctor friend of mine on a sidewalk tells me what I have wrong. So, I know Marcy Ann's going to get into health care and waste of money. Yes, everything that was done to me was a waste of money, waste of time. But then I've got to rationalize. Okay, they were checking off things on their checklist. You know, might it be this? Might it be this? Might it be this? Well, it was always no, 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 no. Not one guy, and I'll say a third time, caught on. Pain goes away when he sits down. That was the whole key, and that's what I want anybody here listening. If you've got numbness, aching in your legs all the time, forget your hips. It can just be your legs being constantly tired, constantly aching, and you're going through some treatments. Go see a vascular surgeon, because it may have nothing to do with discs, with nerves, with the spinal displacement, anything like that. It could be vascular. So all the pain immediately was gone. I'm fine. And as Marcy Ann said, I went up this hill. There's way more than 30 steps, Marcy. Excuse me. Maybe
how
more
many
like
is it,
100.
Mike? And, I knew it was six
weeks ago, I could not have done that. I could have, and I know this. I was in the shape sometimes going up things like that. I could go a total of 8 steps. That was only 4 steps per leg, and I'd have to stop. It would take the breath out of me. The pain would be so bad, I'd have to stop, let the pain subside, go another 8 steps. As Marcy Ann said, this was only a week after my operation, bang, I'm up the whole flight of stairs. So now I'm going to get to the end result. Because whose fault is it? And I love this man. I love him. My primary doctor who first sent me to the first hip surgeon. He should have caught goes away when the patient sits down and sent me maybe to both a hip surgeon to see if I had, arthritis, bursitis, you know, whatever, and a vascular surgeon, bang, it would have been caught right away, and no neurologist, no neurosurgeon, no hip, nobody, none of these people, no chemicals in my body, no shots by my nerves, which the two epidurals have caused now my spine to sort of stiffen up and ache every day on and off, and I blame that on those two shots. So all I'm saying here, and I'll end with this, and I'm saying it again, don't just trust your doctor on the one thing. I have 3 friends gone through various spine surgeries because of various problems, somewhat like mine. My best friend in Dayton, Ohio, He's got the numbness, the tiredness, and everything. They were starting to send him through the same procedure. He knew about me. I said, go see, and he had had the heart problems years ago. Go see your heart surgeon. They put him on a treadmill with little probes on his legs, different than what I had. Same thing. George, you're not getting any blood to your legs. And boom, he's got the exact same thing. But here's where we're going with this, and I know Marcy Ann's subject is all this money being wasted and these doctors keeping the money when they don't do you any good, when they're wrong. Well, I've got to rationalize. They were doing their thing. I was sent to them. Do I fit their criteria? Let's try this. Let's try it. Not one of them caught, and I don't mean to bore you, the fact that the pain went away when I sat down. I kept saying, it would still hurt. I still got the same weight on my spine. This doesn't make sense. But they give me the shots anyway. Marcy, I talk a little too much, but
we need to hear this.
It's not the cost and all that. It's really for your listeners to, if you, anybody in your family, your friends or whatever, are having problems with hips or legs, it just might be your blood vessels, arteries, et cetera, and not the other stuff. So hit both.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, do you remember any time when you had some sort of accident or that might have banged that artery and caused it to be injured?
No. The only thing I could relate to it, which I brought up to all the guys, is when I was 17, I was a passenger in a car, Ohio, snow. The car went out of control, did side flips. I got thrown out of the car, ran over me, landed on top of me, pinned me underneath it. The kid driving came out, and the cop saw this, lifted the side of a 56 Chevy in the air, and I pulled myself out. It had broken the one of the tires had not run over, skidded over the back of my left knee and broke my femur bone. I spent 4 months in the hospital, a couple months in crutches and blah, blah, blah. I was supposed to limp the rest of my life, but I don't. And back then, 1963, they didn't have the MRIs and all that stuff back then. And nothing had ever been done to my knee. So I said to them, I said, maybe that's causing an off balance and that's causing my right hip pain. So, they did the MRI on that, and it's really fine, et cetera. But maybe, Michael, let's shoot this gel into your knee just to give it more lubrication. The one injection, forget the doctor's costs, the one injection was $1,000 just for the chemical. And what Marcy Ann's going to get to is all this insurance money going out. I've got to thank God I'm under AARP, United Healthcare. They've okayed every one of these procedures, every one of these doctors. They've never turned me down. So I love that. But again, they were all wrong.
Well, what I did in my investigation, once I heard your story and then I decided I wanted to do a show about this, I did a search on the internet to try to find out how much all of this stuff cost. Because, it sounds like it's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
Along with hospitalization costs and surgery, yes.
Did you have any out-of-pocket expense on this at all?
Actually, and I'm not going to go through the whole explanation, number one, insurance covered everything. The copay, only because of some personal reasons for me, is taken care of. If I had to be a typical person and do copay, I never could have had hardly any of this done, Marcy Ann. Basically nothing. I'd just still be stuck back where I was 15 months ago.
In pain.
And no answer, no nothing. So thank God there are programs that can help people. And folks, if you're in that position, you got to go through whatever help you can get, state, government, age, whatever. Person listening would say, I don't know who to see. Ask your primary doctor. They know who you can see to help take care of your copay, because you got to be healed.
Mm-hmm. Well,
So no, it didn't cost me a dime, Marcy.
I just
Ann,
wonder. You know, I live here in Laguna Woods Village, as you know, where we have it's an 18,000 resident senior community, and I just wonder how many of these people would go to the doctor if they had to pay.
Well,
I mean, we're all under Medicare
on
over here.
They can't copay.
Huh?
Well, hold on. If they had no insurance, here in California, we're lucky we have what's called MSI, Medical Services for the Indigent. That indigent means poor. They can get on San Juan Capistrano, sign up for that, and you know, all you got to do is prove that you're
poor.
But
if you're not indigent and you just don't have
you don't have the money,
insurance,
you
or
help.
You have a
That's
real
it.
High deductible, for instance, you know, then how many people would really go and pay, you know, $5,000 to have an MRI?
You're saying deductible, yes, but you can get the state, you can get the county, et cetera. There are monies. There's a slush fund to help people like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
called MSI.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. My search to try to find out what this stuff cost ended up being just a round-robin thing that I ended up with me not finding out a thing because of all these different kinds of plans, high and low deductible insurance policy, tiered coverage plans, HMOs, and hundreds of other kinds of coverages. But I did find an article written by a health reporter in Massachusetts, and she ran into the same thing because she said her doctor advised having an MRI to try to find out why she was having more headaches than usual. So she called her local hospital, which was Newton Wesley, and asked for the price of the test because her doctor didn't even know how much an MRI cost. So they transferred her to radiology, who then transferred her to billing, and billing said they would call her back, and they never did, ever. She called several times and left messages. No one would ever call her back. So she called another hospital, and she found out that they charged $5,315 for an MRI. But they couldn't tell her what her rate was going to be if she was insured. They said they didn't have that information. So then she called, you know, that's a lie that they don't have that information. So she called
all health coverages are different, and different health company or different insurance companies pay
different.
Yeah, it's
this big convoluted mess.
Yeah,
so then she called an independent lab that had a chain of labs that specialized in MRIs, and they said they charged between $2,000 and $3,600 for the test. But if they billed her HMO, which was Blue Cross, that she would pay between $600 and $1,200, and Blue Cross would pick up the rest. So she eventually did the MRI through the hospital where her doctor was registered for practice, because I don't know whether people know this or not, but doctors can only go to certain hospitals, whichever one they're in their group.
Right.
Yeah, and when she got the bill, it was $7,468. And so she called the hospital to find out how much Blue Cross was going to pay, and they told her they couldn't tell her. I mean, it just sounds like this big, it makes you wonder, you know, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing, or there's a terrible cover-up. So
well, I don't know about cover-up. I mean, as you just said, each place charges different. Each policy pays different for what type of mm-hmm. policy you picked up and blah, blah, blah. And I wouldn't
yeah.
expect a lady at the hospital to know that answer. It's your insurance company who should give you that answer.
Well, her article says that insurance companies negotiate different rates with different hospitals.
And
when she called Blue Cross.
From doctors.
Yeah,
and
to find out
me,
what they were going to pay, she said the Blue Cross person said she would need to tell her what the exact procedure was that she had and what was the code for the procedure. And when she tried to find out the code, no one would help her. So I called my primary care physician and I'm real good friends. I pretty much don't go to the doctor, but I have a relationship with him, and his wife is his front desk receptionist. And so, I go to lunch with him and stuff. He says that he understands that I work from a higher level for my health care. But he wanted to see me at least once a year, so he calls and asks me to go to lunch with him and make sure I'm still alive and everything is still fine. So I was talking to her about it because she's the one that, does this paperwork stuff. And she says that they don't ever know what anybody's going to pay. She says they just fill out the paperwork and send it in, and then they'll find out what's going to be paid.
Yeah, but Marcia, and realize, where do all these doctors get their income? How do they pay all their employees? The employees they pay, they're paying them who have to support their families, who have to make their mortgage payments, who have to send their kids to college. Any individual doctor has a bunch of families he has to bring income in to support mm-hmm. them and make a profit himself or mm-hmm. herself. And all of their income now is based on insurance money. And if we didn't have insurance here in the United States, period, we would in no way have the number of doctors we have, period, because they couldn't make any money. They're all making, and I'm not being negative, it's our system. They're all making money. Now, I'm going to go different. I don't mean to upset you, but some of your listeners will go, oh, Obamacare. Listen, everybody deserves health care. And if they can't afford it, they still deserve it. They're a human being. Now, let me go to, for example, in Laguna here, we have a community clinic that services the poor, the indigent, et cetera. And they basically do it for free based on contributions from the citizens and groups here in Laguna Beach. And I think every city has this. Well, okay, wow, now a lot of their patients, these community clinics, these free clinics, can start getting some income via Obamacare, which really helps them out, their staff, and allows them to treat more poor people. End of my story.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, back to this lady's article. She said she asked the question, why is there such a disparity between what a hospital charges? And what she found out is that a hospital and a doctor, actually this is true of the hospital and the doctor, that they lose money on some of the services they do, so they have to make it up on the other services that they do. And an
Correct.
MRI is one of the services where they can make up the money they need to run the hospital. That's why there's no set price. She said she could never find out what the actual cost of an MRI is, that it's dependent upon the balance sheet of the hospital for that month. And there's actually no set price for anything, because they go to their CPA, who's in charge of the cost of running the hospital, and they say, we need this much money this month, so charge as much as you can wherever you can.
Well, I mean, look at me, and I know you kept trying to find costs on me. I've been to an internist, two hip surgeons, a spine surgeon, two pain management doctors, a neurosurgeon, a neurologist, and two vascular surgeons. I've had one cortisone shot in my hip, two epidurals in my spine, a gel injection in my left knee, four MRIs, 11 x-rays, an ultrasound, a CTA 3D imaging scan of my abdomen, and a one-hour neurologist leg nerve testing procedure. And keep in mind, with all of these doctors, as far as charges, there have been multiple visits to each doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Marcy Ann,
mm-hmm.
I can't imagine the cost. You could throw it up to $100,000.
I know. I was thinking that. And, you kept all the hospitals and the doctors. You kept all the hospitals running, and you kept the doctors driving their Mercedes.
No, let me tell you. Up until I thought of this yesterday, when I first started telling this story, I really wasn't upset. Here's what I've been through. Here's, oh, okay, it's fine now. And the more I tell the story, the more I get irritated that none of these guys caught on to. Pain goes away when he sits down. And
right.
They did what they're trained to do. A neurosurgeon is trained in his little box of spine surgery. You go to a family-type doctor like Dr. Bill Anderson here in Laguna. He doesn't know everything about everything, but he knows a heck of a lot about everything because he's a full-body doctor, okay? And boom, you got your arteries clogged, Michael. He didn't even have to look at me. He never had to touch me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I called Dr. Bill, and I asked him if he would be on the show with us. And he called me back, and he said he didn't have time to do that, but that he would give me a statement. So here's what he said. He said that today's doctor's practice has been totally hijacked by the rules and regulations of all of the outside agencies, and that includes the AMA, the government health care provisions like Medicare and Medicaid, and the insurance companies. And he says most doctors spend more than half of his patient care time going through the possibilities that what would be paid for by whatever agency is available to the patient. So he's not doing it from the highest and best good of the patient. He's thinking, what can I bill here? What test can I run to that I can get paid for?
Not just
he's got to support
all of his employees'
and
families.
And his kids in college and all of that. So, and then the rest of the time is filling out all that paperwork that will generate the payment. So Dr. Bill says the actual patient time is less than adequate. And actually, actual patient time is about 5 minutes, and the rest of the appointment is paperwork. And Dr. Bill says that the original patient-doctor relationship of the past is gone. Today's medicine is a matter of finding a medical code that will generate the payment for the services. Well, you know, in the old days, your doctor would take a personal history. You know, what's going on in your life right now? How are you getting along with your husband or your wife? Or are you happy at your job? Or what are you worried about? What's bothering you? Because this kind of personal history was designed to get to the cause. The cause of the symptoms. And my personal doctor is Chinese. And so he was originally, you know, classically trained in the original Eastern thought systems. And he is also, you know, he does acupuncture, cranial sacral. He does osteopathic manipulation. He does a lot of things that I do go to him for, which are physically therapeutic, but works with the body's healing systems. And in that original classical five-element acupuncture diagnosis, it says the initial consultation with a patient is usually a 1 to 2 hour meeting where a thorough history of the patient is taken and the person is questioned. Physical routines are noted, like sleep, appetite, color of their face, sound of their voice, their odor, body odor, and watching the body language, you know, and their emotional and physical well-being, how they functioned in the world, what was their childhood like, what's their ability to have relationship. I mean, you know, it used to be a 1 to 2 hour consultation, and now it's like less than 5 minutes. The doctor's in and out in less than 5 minutes, and the rest of it's paperwork and trying to determine what code. And the fact that you did all of these things.
I have to interject there. In all of these doctors that I've gone through, most of them were just like you said. They didn't really want to hear from me. You know,
no.
They wanted to hear my story. The neurologist cared less of what I had to say because he is going to do nerve testing, period, and he doesn't care about the story. And
right.
But I've got to say, three of these doctors were the type who sat you down, who sat on your level, not above you, and would even touch my knee as they talked to me or whatever. And they wanted to know the whole story. So there are different doctors. They're not all
as
you're talking.
But then they didn't catch the fact that it went away when you sat down still.
That, I got to go back to my primary doctor who sent me on one avenue. He should have sent me on two. And then the vascular surgeon would have caught it. And the second procedure, the neurologist and neurosurgeon, we never would have kept going down there. I never would have had the shots. I got to go back to my primary, who should know a little bit about everything in your body, and say, oh, you know what? This just might be vascular.
Well, actually, he's the one that should have originally or somewhere along the line had that personal contact with you, that original consultation.
He does,
that,
but he didn't catch that. He didn't catch that. It wasn't in his head,
you know,
or it wasn't in his training or whatever.
Yeah, and then all these other secondary doctors that you went to, they're just dealing with a very tiny part of the whole thing. They're specifically trained in like one or two or three things, and there's a code attached to each one of those that they know they can get paid for, and that's all they do. And like you say,
I don't quite believe that the only that their whole thing is just to be paid for. I do believe that the healers that want to heal, but again, we'll go back to they weren't trained outside their box.
Their little box.
They didn't realize that I'm a nerve guy. I'm a this guy. I'm a that guy. You know what? It might not be in my area. It might be vascular. Yes, it was.
Yeah. Well, that's
one of them
well,
should have cut me off of that whole ladder I had to climb and sent me to a vascular surgeon. One of them,
rather than
running into a guy on a sidewalk. And
well,
I'm going to go back
God
to these
Dr.
words,
Bill.
And I know you're a religious person. Divine intervention.
It was. Well, I know.
If I didn't run into him 6 weeks ago on the sidewalk, I'd still be in pain right now with no answer, and probably more chemicals and crap in my body.
So what would you, now you've suggested that people should if they have, you know, pain in the lower parts of their body, that they should consider vascular problems.
I'm going to say we're, because I don't know about all your listeners, but you know, we're older and we get plaque build up in our system, et cetera, and, you know, my one artery got too much, and it stopped accepting blood, and then, bang, the pain set in. We're older. We need anyway, you know, to have our vascular system somehow looked at. Are we getting the proper pressure, blood flow down at our ankles? This is easy. You know, they can do things like that with nothing more than the cuff things that you put on your arm for blood pressure. They can put them down there and see what the heck's going on. You don't need major operations. An ultrasound, which isn't that terribly expensive, is what told them immediately. And these little cuffs that they put on your arm for blood pressure, they put two on my upper right thigh, two on my right calf, one around the ankle, one around my left ankle. And then each one systematically, you know, would get tight just like you would when you do the blood pressure. Mm-hmm. And they're then got the probe on your leg with the ultrasound going, and then they match that to the left leg, and I wasn't getting any blood. This wasn't a big, tough test, but it proved that I had a vascular problem. Okay, it comes from that artery. Let's check it. They did a 3D x-ray. Yeah, 90% clogged. We got to clean that before something breaks loose and this guy dies of a heart attack.
Yes, yes. So you did have divine intervention.
Yes. Three times in my life I've had it, and I hope it doesn't stop at three.
So thank God for that.
And your
show's
probably not long
right.
enough to tell you the other two.
Well, maybe we can do that on another show sometime. on a show on divine intervention, because I've had those times too. But I just wanted today to alert our listeners to the fact that they can take more action in their own life regarding their health care, and ask questions and do some research. Get on the internet. You'll never find out how much anything costs, but you can find out alternatives, and you can find and then ask your doctor questions. And if you're not getting the right answers or satisfactorily, then, you know, go to somebody else. And,
Marcy Ann, I had no idea if I was getting the right answers. I'm not a doctor.
Well, that's
true. You know,
true.
I've got
that's
specialists
true.
Telling me, you know, okay, go to, okay, that's not the problem. Maybe it's this. I'm going to send you to that specialist. No, it's not. They did their thing. They did their thing, and they didn't push me off to other doctors because they wanted to give money to some other doctor. They're
no.
just in their box they're trained in. I got to go back to that. You need to see somebody who knows a little bit about everything, and if it's supposedly nerves, discs, arthritis, bursitis, is it, you know what? It just might be your blood arteries. One guy can tell you if that's right or wrong. So all I'm saying is don't stay in that one box. Have your main physician refer you to a vascular guy or just bring it up to him or her.
Mm-hmm. Ask.
Yes.
Ask about it. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Again, my friend back in Dayton, Ohio, he might wound up getting cut on again. No. It wasn't anything to do with his nerves. Only because of me, he knew to go and ask about his arteries. They're clogged. So
mm-hmm.
now they're going to do the test on him, and which one is it, and let's clean it out. And he'll get his blood back to his legs. When you have
mm-hmm.
a year of your muscles aching and hurting in your legs right down to the soles of your feet. If you've ever had the soles of your feet hurt, it's really weird. you know, that type of stuff. You're not getting enough blood, period. Now, yes, it could be a nerve, but there is an alternative to look at.
Well, I really thank you for being willing to come on and tell your story and to
I
want to
help people, Marcy Ann.
Yeah,
I'm not anti-insurance. I'm not anti-profit. I just want to help people open their eyes.
Right. And so thank you so much for taking that time to tell us. And
I appreciate being able to tell.
Well, it's important.
Really. I mean, hey, you
important.
And me, you know, we're both you know, we're wedding officiants. We believe in love. We believe in God. We believe in all of this. And part of it is to help each other. And let me go back to another thing for your listeners. If you feel it's going to be too expensive, go seek help. Here in Orange County, you can go to Aliso Viejo. The county has a nice, wonderful building there. You wait, yes, but then you sit in front of a clerk and you tell them your situation, your income, you bring all your proof and everything with you, and you might have the state paying your copay for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are ways to get stuff done. Don't let money stop you.
That's good information to have. I went, until I was 65, I didn't have any insurance. I just went to the local clinics. And I found great help there. In fact, the one over here by me, the doctor has since sold it and has retired. But during that 20-year period that I went there, you know, he was like my own personal physician. I mean, he knew me by name and everything. So, and I just paid. You know, and it was it started out being $30, and then it went to $50, and at the end of the whole thing, it was a $70 visit. But I mean, it was good medical care that I was able to get there. And then, of course, when I was 65, I went on Medicare.
Yeah, let me. I don't know how long you can go, but let me add another thing. I have a wonderful, wonderful 30-some-year-old friend. He's a wonderful, unbelievable singer, guitarist, and I've known him for 30-some years. So imagine the guitar around your neck and on your thing and all his right arm being in the same position every night of the week, blah,
mm-hmm.
blah, blah. He was getting pain in his right shoulder, his right ankle. He was told he had gout because it was hurting, and then they found out, oh, he had actually broken blah, blah, blah. And he wound up inadvertently to going back to your thing, an acupuncturist who also does acupressure, acupuncture, and those, I don't know what they're called, the little bowls, B-O-W-L-S,
yes.
that you put on his back and heat them up. And Michael, you've got to go to my guy for your problem. He says, let me tell you, my right ankle doesn't hurt anymore. My right shoulder doesn't hurt anymore. My frequent urination is gone. How in the heck can this be? This guy doing this, the frequent urination is gone? That's what amazed me, because as an older person, older man, I don't know about women, it happens to us, okay? So I'm not anti the Asian things, the acupuncture, the bowls and everything else. Try it.
Right. There's a lot more interested in alternative ways of doing things today than there ever has been. We've kind of, 51% of the people over 50 years old now do seek some sort of alternative medicine. And I've used acupuncture, you know, the entire time I've gone to my doctor, because those points are connected to the energy meridians of our body. And then by stimulating them, it activates them to operate in a higher frequency, which can then sometimes address the issue. The body knows what to do.
Let me ask you a question. I don't know if you know this, but of your listeners, do you think you have some elderly men?
I don't know.
Okay.
Into all English-speaking countries of the world.
Okay, well, let me just say this, and I brought it up, and I'm not embarrassed to. Getting older, especially as a man, you wind up with frequent urination, et cetera, getting up too many times a night, whatever.
Right,
I'm watching a TV show. I get that checked every year, and mine's fine. The PSA test, the finger, a whole bit. But a TV show five, six, 7 years back, brought up this over-the-counter herbal medicine called SAW, S-A-W, second word, palmetto, P-A-L-M-E-T-T-O. And you take two in the morning, two at night. And they're really cheap. God, you can get almost 400 pills, which, for $10. I go to the urologist every year, and I had complained about this. And then I started taking the SAW palmetto. Frequent urination went away. Leakage went away, et cetera. So I said to my urologist, I said, okay, here's what's going on. Why didn't you tell me about SAW palmetto? Michael, it's not okayed by the American Medical Association. Wait a minute. Who cares? It works. It's not approved by the AMA. Then when I had my operation on April 8th on my femoral artery to clean it out, one of the questions the hospital asked me over the phone, what medications you take? Well, right now, nothing but blood thinner and, oh, by the way, I take SAW palmetto twice a day. Oh, okay, a lot of our patients do that because my hospital is Saddleback out by where you live, a lot of elderly people, and the people were using it. But the doctors won't tell them to. Why? Because it's not published in the AMA. How stupid.
Well, you have to go to an alternative medicine doctor for those kinds of things. In fact, there are like nutritionists.
You shouldn't have to.
Well, my goodness, the AMA is never going to authorize the use of natural herbs and things. They're connected with the pharmaceutical companies.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't had it, but I'm sure there are doctors who will tell patients, hey, you need to start taking some vitamin C. You need to go buy some multivitamins.
Well,
by the way, folks,
right
everybody
now,
listening, everybody listening, when you take a multivitamin pill, you do not take one a day. You split them in half, in the morning, half at night, because your system can't absorb a full multivitamin at one time. Therefore, you wind up urinating all that out.
Yeah.
You take half in the morning, half at night.
That's good advice.
And if you, by the way, and I'm just saying this as I think of it, if you're taking baby aspirin for blood thinner, you do not take it during the day. You take it before you go to bed. Why? 60 to 70% of all heart attacks, strokes happen in the morning when a patient wakes up.
First wakes up.
What happens when you go to sleep? You lay down prone. Your blood thickens at night. That's why heart attacks and strokes happen in the morning. You wake up and your blood's thick. So you always take your baby aspirin before you go to bed to keep your blood thin.
Good advice,
I feel like
Michael.
I feel like I'm preaching, but I want to share.
We do get a chance to preach once in a while, don't we?
Every week.
Well,
no,
I'll
I
tell
don't
you,
preach,
all of that
Mark,
is very yeah. good.
Okay. Well, folks, everybody listening, and I hope there's a good audience. I know I put it on Facebook this morning myself, that, or yesterday and again today, that we'd be having this. So, Marcy, I hope you got some extra listeners out of this.
Thank
and
you, Michael.
I hope
well,
you,
the other thing
one,
is,
if
yeah.
we've helped one person, it's worth
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. Not only that, Reverend Michael, but these shows are archived, so they're available forever. And they can be listened to at any time of the day or night, anywhere in the world, on their
phone. And I've listened to some of them. I went to your site where you showed it
there
and you sent it to
yes,
me. Yeah.
They're archived forever. So
and, folks, what you're saying is this conversation now is archived.
Yes.
So if you want somebody else, a relative or friend, to listen
exactly.
to it, go to Marcy Ann's site, and they can listen to this. It's not gone.
Exactly, exactly. It can be listened to forever from now on.
Yep, there you go.
And probably in some years to come, we may listen to it and say, boy, we were right on. We were ahead of the times.
I have to say one last thing before you cut me off. Any of you who are getting married, want to do a vow renewal, have a relative, a niece and nephew getting married, you got two people in Orange County to call, Reverend Marcy Ann Cheek, and Reverend Michael Ahern, A-H-E-R-N.
E-R-N.
and we both have websites. We're easy to contact. So we're here to supplement our retirement pay. We do it
and
we
are
like
non-denominational ministers. Yeah, we serve the entire population. We don't reflect a specific personal religious faith. We minister to all faiths, all races,
non-denomination,
all religions,
gay, straight, whatever. It's your
exactly.
business.
In fact, I have two ladies this weekend that have come in from Texas, and we're going to be doing it in the gazebo.
Yeah, I've done three same-sex marriages so far this year.
Mm-hmm. So any need that the community has, Reverend Michael and I are available to serve you. So thanks
it.
Again, Michael. I appreciate
hey,
it so
hey,
much.
Folks, on Marcy's site, she has places for comments. Make some, please.
That'll be interesting. I would love to hear from people.
Why not?
Yeah.
Or at least thank us if it helps somebody in your family.
Well, and then, sometimes that happens later on.
I know.
They hear something, and it's like, I heard that, and I'm going to tell Aunt Sue about this, It's a person-to-person collective out there. And one person tells another person, and that's how we spread the good news.
I've got a friend here who went through spine surgery a few months back. He lives in Laguna. Another one in Laguna Niguel. They've been through all of these doctors, all of these tests. They've had spine surgeries, and they're still in pain. They
right.
are now going down the vascular route to see maybe if that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so
good.
So share.
Yeah, tell everybody. No more, Yeah, tell everybody.
Yeah, you
We're
got
shouting
it
from the housetops today.
You got it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, and I'm going to mute
Cut
your mic
off.
Now, and then I'm going to have my close, okay?
Okay. All right. Well,
okay.
Listen, thank you for having me on.
Alrighty,
thank you for
Mike.
Allowing me to share the story, and I'll say once again, I hope we're helping at least one person.
That's right. I agree.
Okay. Everybody
okay,
listening,
bye-bye.
This is Reverend Michael. I'm going to hang up and hope you have a great day. And Marcy Ann, thank you again.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
So the reason I wanted to do this show today is, first of all, I want to say that we desperately need to move away from a homeostasis system of medical care that only deals with physical symptoms that are based upon Newton physics and a chemical-based solution, and move into an allostasis system of medical care that is based upon quantum physics and a change of behavior-based solution. And we can stop addressing symptoms by taking drugs and start discovering causes that can suggest changes in our behaviors that will then cause the physical systems to disappear. No more drugs and surgery. Now, in Marvin Michael's case, there was a need for cleaning out that artery. And there wouldn't be any way probably to know how or why that artery got clogged up. But something happened that caused that, and it could have been in that accident that he had, and it could have been a domino effect of it, because there's always a cause. And I'm not saying that it's, you know, there isn't ever a need for surgery, but I do believe that there really is never, I'm really against using drugs. I believe a behavioral change can create a system of health that operates from a perfect blueprint of DNA, RNA information. So let's just think about what our first reaction is to having a symptom. Do you just rush to the doctor to get a pill to make it all stop? Or do you take a moment to think about maybe what's going on in your life and what is your body trying to tell you? Because you know what? The physical body is a neutral place. It only manifests what we eat, what we think, and what we feel. And the physical body is the last place where a medical crisis manifests. It's the very last place. So if you're having some kind of a medical crisis in your body, this problem has been with you for a long, long time. And now the cause of this system that is now getting your attention in your body is something that has happened or perhaps is still happening in your life, somewhere in your mental world or somewhere in your emotional world or somewhere in your spiritual world. And if you can just take some time to discover the cause and deal with the cause, which is not a physical issue, it's a spiritual issue or an emotional issue, emotional strain on you or a mental stress, and you address that issue, then your physical symptoms are going to go away. So I have some suggestions. First of all, you can come to my Friday night 21st Century Prayer Meeting and find and where we will create a sacred space for you where you can find out what the cause is of any medical crisis that you have. It's on Friday nights at 7 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time here at Blog Talk Radio. Or you can join a spiritual group of some kind, some way to get in touch with yourself, your real self, your pure and true self, that eternal stream of consciousness that's been before the beginning and after the ending, and find that this real person who is you is unique and different than anyone else. There's no general medical program that's going to work for everybody. There's no pill that we can take that'll work for everyone because no one is the same. So no combination of chemicals is going to work the same way for everyone. Have you ever listened to those side effects about the drugs that are advertised on television? Paralysis, uncontrolled bleeding, blindness, death. Drugs are not the answer. our chemistry is affected by our feelings and our thoughts and our beliefs and our fondest hopes and our deepest desires and our most impossible dreams. And to whatever extent we're not happy, or that we have fears or doubts or don't feel worthy or acceptable or important, our body is going to show this to us. So take some time to just sit with your body and let it tell you what you need to know to make some behavioral changes in your life and transform your life. And then you can just be free from this convoluted healthcare system that's out there based ultimately on how much it costs to run the hospital or what procedure the insurance company will pay for, and not what is best for you. And find a doctor who asks you, what's going on in your life? That's the first question my doctor asks me. He says, he's Chinese and he has this background of the ancients, so he uses these ancient practices to help his patients, although he is also trained in Western medicine at Ohio University. But he says that he has those patients who just want a pill, make this go away. I don't care what is causing it. So I wanted to talk about just a minute about these codes. And because I haven't gone to my doctor for the last 2 years, because I've been more true to myself and I've worked with my body to let it tell me what is going on and why. And as I deal with circumstances in my life in a way that eliminates the fear and the stress and the anxiety and the confusion or all that wondering, then I make definite decisions that suggest certain actions for my highest and best good, and then I do these, and then I find I'm just not sick. But I do call him from time to time, and he calls me to see how I am. And I called him to find out about these codes that the doctors have to use to get paid. And this book of the codes is huge, thousands and thousands of pages if you try to read it. You would need to go to medical school to even understand the terms. And that's why today doctors just work within tiny little segments of the whole spectrum of medical treatment. They just do one or two things, and they know the code for these one or two things, and that's all they do. And if you go to them, that's what they're going to do, whether you need it or not, because that's what they know how to do and what they will be paid for, just like in Reverend Michael's experience. It doesn't matter what is really wrong with you. The doctor is going to just do what the code for his one or two things that he does that he'll get paid for. So I thought about these codes, because have you ever noticed an address for a website on the Internet? Kim Kardashian is the most Googled person on the Internet. And so here's AOL's Kim Kardashian Internet code. https://search.aol.com/?it=AOLCOM=HOT-2(Kim+Kardashian). You know what? Each and every one of us has a code. And I don't mean a Google code. We have a light code. And it's the code that told the DNA and the RNA how to make you. It's a specific code. And it's written in your blood that flows in every part of your body. It is a light code. When this all started and the energy of the universe said, let there be light, those codes went out. And that code that is you is in your blood. and you can activate it. And you can live your life according to the perfect blueprint of DNA and RNA that can operate perfectly and in your highest and best good, so you can fulfill your purpose and live an abundant life, healthy, wealthy, and wise. So if you just want to activate your light code, you can activate your light code by going into your heart and center your awareness there, and then say, I activate my light code. My light code. It's just that simple. And then your body will begin to tell you what to do so that you can come into alignment with that perfect plan of the DNA, RNA, and it'll tell you some behavioral changes you can make. And let me just tell you today, this is my last thing I want to say on this midweek pick-me-up show. You're going to like the results. Thank you.